And turn with me, if you will, to the Old Testament book of the Psalms, number 34, beginning at verse 15. We are reading today from the New King James Version, and our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 319 of your pew Bible. Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Pray with me this morning. As we examine this text with this thought in mind, the Lord delivers, the Lord delivers. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. Amen. This morning, I would like to invite you to take a walk with me through one of the most precious psalms in all of Scripture, Psalm 34. Now, one does not walk through the Psalms in search of doctrine or history, although they are both present there. Doctrine is profitable, and we should seek to understand the great doctrines of the Bible so that we may walk in harmony with God's truth. And history is useful. It's important to review God's work with his people throughout the ages so that we may have an example to follow or an example to avoid as we walk with the Lord. But sometimes you just need to open your heart and speak to the Lord. That's when the Psalms become so precious to us. The Psalms give us an example to follow because the Psalms were the prayer book and the song book of Israel. These are the songs that they sung in their worship to God. These psalms that we call the book of Psalms were their songbook in their services to the Lord. Sometimes they were singing with joy and praise. Other times they were petitioning the Lord for help in particular troubles. Sometimes they were asking for mercy or forgiveness. Other times they were asking for help in the midst of battle. But always the psalms were from the heart of the believer to the ear of God. Israel communicated with the Lord through the prayer book and song book that we call the Psalms. And David in this psalm is testifying of the goodness of God after God allowed him to escape from the hands of the Philistines. What David discovered and set down in the words of this psalm is that if you trust God, he will deliver you. If you trust God, he will deliver you. And David was convinced of that, and we should be also. So how can we gain the assurance that David had about God's deliverance? Well, the answer is in the text. So let us examine this text to see if we can make David's testimony our own. The inescapable fact that I found as I walked through this psalm was that if you trust God, he will deliver you. He will deliver you. Verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. We need to trust God to deliver us because we are never out of God's sight. We are never out of his sight. The Lord sees us at all times. So we don't have to worry about God not being aware of what's happening in our lives. He watches over us day and night. And when we think about the fact that God is watching over us, we should be greatly comforted. Whether we're sleeping or awake, God is still watching us. Nothing slips up on God. And that's a comfort in knowing that when evil is coming upon us and we may not know it, God sees it, even when we don't. God sees it. And the Holy Spirit will warn us of impending evil. If we listen to the Spirit, when you tune your heart to the Spirit, God will start telling you when things are coming on, that you need to get close to him. And that unction from the Spirit to get close to God means that something is coming upon you. You need to draw close to the Lord and he will protect you. The loving, caring, watchful eyes of the Lord are always on us. And we need to give thanks to God for his watchful care. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. As the Lord Jesus explains in the book of Matthew, God sees all of his creation. A bird does not fall from the sky unless God allows it. And God's love for us is greater than the love that he has for birds. Even the hairs upon our head are numbered, the Lord said. So we need to ask ourselves, as God is watching over us, why do we need to worry? Why do we need to worry if we know that God is watching? The strength of our faith comes from the knowledge that we are being watched over by a God who never slumbers nor sleeps. And knowing that God has the responsibility for our welfare, we can quit worrying and concentrate ourselves on just being faithful to him. Just being faithful. We have the assurance that he will faithfully keep all that we have committed to him. So we need to commit everything to him and lay all of our cares on him, because the Bible tells us that he cares for us. Jesus invited us to yoke up with him. He said, "You take my burdens and I'll take yours." Matthew 11:29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Then he confirmed that we're getting a good deal, because he said in verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So Jesus said, "You take my light yoke and I'll take whatever burdens you have and I'll carry them for you." God is good to us. All he asks is that we trust him as we walk with him. Trust God when trouble comes upon you. You don't know where to turn? Call on God and he'll answer you. Trust God when pain and suffering comes upon you and you're wondering when it will all end. Call on God. He'll give you an answer. Trust God when money problems come upon you and it seems that you're all boxed in. Call on the Lord. He will answer you. Trust God when your friends disappoint you and desert you and you have no one to lean on. Call on the Lord. He'll answer you. Trust God when you feel lost and confused and you don't know which way to turn. Call on the Lord. He will answer you. So we need to trust God to deliver us, because we're never out of his sight. Sometimes we may lose sight of God, but he never loses sight of us. We're never out of his presence, never out of his care, and never out of his love. So we can be thankful that by his grace, we're now outside of his wrath. We're never out of his love, but we're outside of his wrath. Look at verse 16. "The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." We need to trust God to deliver us, because we are no longer included in his wrath. We are no longer included in his wrath. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, Paul writes, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." The wrath of God is hovering over this world. One day God will say, "Enough is enough," and he will pour out his judgment on all the world. And everyone who is not saved by the blood of Jesus will answer to God's wrath on that day. And something within the laws tells them that all is not well with their soul. That their spirit is telling them that they're sitting under the wrath of God. It's something, there's an uneasiness in the unsaved world, and they know something is wrong in their situation. And you know, each one of us had that uneasiness in our soul. Before we came to the Lord, there was that uneasiness, and we knew something was wrong. And only when we came to the Lord did that uneasiness depart. And in this society we live in today, and particularly in America, I think that's the reason for so much fear and panic that has gripped this nation there. They're looking at things. You remember all the hysteria that came over in 1999, when they were thinking about the year 2000 was going to bring all kind of calamity and all kind of, they were doing all kind of stupid things that the world was going to end. They knew judgment was coming. They said, okay, this number of the year is going to come. No man knows the day or the hour, but that panic was brought about by the inward fear of knowing that you're under the wrath of God. And then when 9/11 happened, that just, you know, brought more fear. So we have a nation living in fear. And you don't have to live in fear when you're living under the Lord, in his precious care, having received his deliverance. If you have received the Lord, you no longer have to live in fear. But if you're outside of his love, then you know that judgment is coming. And the world we live in, this society, knows that disaster is coming, but they're trying to nail it down to some specific that they can see and predict and control, and they can't do that. Sky marshals and border guards won't save you from the wrath of God. But the joy and comfort of those who are in Christ is the knowledge that we are no longer under the wrath of God. We once were, but no longer. And I know that's true because the Bible tells me that. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, Paul writes, says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." By grace we have been saved. "Because we have accepted God's grace, we are no longer under God's wrath. Because we have been accepted by God's grace, he will deliver us when we call upon him. Because God is the God of justice, he will execute judgment upon evildoers on our behalf." So we don't have to seek vengeance. God is going to do more than we could ever think to do. So you don't have to worry about battling evil. God has declared that the battle is his, not ours. The battle is the Lord's, not ours. Look at an example of how God saved Jerusalem and Judah back in the Old Testament when they were attacked by three enemies at once. And that story is found in the book of 2 Chronicles. Under the reign of King Jehoshaphat, the city of Jerusalem and the kingdom of Judah was under attack from the combined armies of the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the men of Mount Seir. Now, God had not allowed Joshua to destroy these nations when they came out of Egypt on their way to the promised land. God said, don't destroy them. And now these nations have gotten together. They were going to come back and try to destroy what's left of Israel, destroy Judah. And God told them, don't worry about it. The battle is mine. All you need to do is just stand your ground and be faithful. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. Listen to God's talking to the king of Israel. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." And the Lord will be with you. God's message to us today is the same as it was to Judah. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord. So Jehoshaphat must have believed God, because when he got up that morning, if you keep reading, and knowing that the Lord was on his side, he said, let's go in there singing. So he got all of Judah to singing as they went in. And they just sat and watched the Lord destroy those armies. They started attacking themselves. Even before they got to Judah, they destroyed themselves. And God said, see, you didn't have to raise a sword. Just stand in my name, and I'll deliver you. If you trust God, if we trust God, he will deliver us, because he has set his face against evil. And the battle is not ours, but the Lord. We sometimes feel overwhelmed by the problems that are set before us. And we wonder, Lord, why me? Why now? Why this? But all we need to do is do what Judah did. Just stand our post, trust in God, and let him fight our battles. Because he's able to fight our battles. If you have been obedient to God and it seems that your situation has just gotten worse, rejoice, don't despair. Because when you've gotten to the end of your road, when you've done all that you can possibly do, then you can know that God is ready to step in and do what only God can do. Because man's extremities is God's opportunity. When you get to the end of your line, the end of your power, the end of your strength, God says, okay, I'll step in now. And so that should be a joy. When you've done all you can and you can't do anymore and nothing seems to help, don't despair. Get encouraged. God means God's going to step in and he's going to do it right. He's going to win the battle. If you've turned it all over to the Lord, then the battle is his, not yours. And if you haven't turned it all over to the Lord, why haven't you? Why haven't you? Why are you still wrestling with burdens that are too heavy for you? Let God do it. He is willing, he is able, and he is ready. Don't worry about battling evildoers. Just trust God. He will deliver you. Verse 16 says, "The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." But for those who trust him, for those who have walked according to his word, God shows mercy. God shows mercy. Look at verse 17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. We need to trust God to deliver us, because we are always surrounded by his mercy. We are always surrounded by his mercy. God hears the righteous because he is a God of mercy. David found out that God's mercy was overwhelming to those who were truly repentant. Now, David had done some evil in his life, but when he repented to God, God showed him that he had not thrown him away, but he had him ready to bring him back in full fellowship with him. As David ran from one enemy to another, he discovered that all he had to do was call on the Lord. Verse 19 said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. There's going to be some things coming. You say, Lord, I thought that I was a child of God and things wouldn't happen to me. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of not most of them, but all of them. The Lord delivers him out of them all. Even the righteous will face troubles. In fact, the Bible says that all who try to live godly will have tribulations. But God is always there to deliver us. He's there to comfort us so that we do not lose hope. He's there to sustain us so that we can continue in the battle. Sometimes you feel like just giving up and just stopping and going home. But God is there to sustain you, to lift you up, and to give you encouragement, and to send you on your way. He's there to strengthen us so that we can gain the victory. Verse 20 says, he guards all our bones. Not one of them is broken. God protects his own. When you go into battle with God as your general, you don't have to worry about becoming a battlefield casualty. Because the devil may try to inflict a few flesh wounds on you, but the Lord will protect you body and soul. You will not be destroyed or crippled. Look at Job. The devil threw all that he had at Job, and when it was all over, God had restored everything that Job had twofold. God did not allow Job to suffer permanent injury. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. You need to trust the promises of God. Verse 21 says, evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. God is still in control. God is still in control. It may seem like the world is becoming overcome by evil, and it seems more like that day by day, but God is still in control. God is still sovereign. He rules and superrules both heaven and earth. And most importantly, God is not mocked. That means you must reap what you sow. It seems like evildoers are getting away with all kinds of evil, and you look out and evil is just getting more and more prosperous. But God is not mocked. You must reap what you sow. When God starts to bring in judgment upon those who have done evil, it's going to be like a flood. God's judgment will come down upon this wicked world like a flood. And only with our eyes will the righteous see the punishment of the wicked. For the righteous, there is redemption. Verse 22 says, the Lord redeems the soul of his servant, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. God has always been faithful to those who trust him. He gives his assurance of redemption to all who walk with him in faith and trust. To be redeemed means to be purchased from slavery. That's what redemption means, be purchased out of slavery. And we were once slaves to sin, and God purchased us out of that. So now we owe nothing to sin. We owe it all to God. Christ brought us out of slavery to sin with his death on the cross. So God paid a high price for us. That is why we are precious in his sight. David found out how great God's mercy was when God delivered him from his enemies. That's why he wrote this psalm, as a testimony to the goodness of his God. And listen to the beginning of this psalm to see how David speaks out of an overflowing heart. What we read at the beginning of our service. This is David, how he began this psalm. Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. David declared that it's good to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord and he will deliver you. He will deliver you because you are never out of his sight. Trust the Lord and he will deliver you. He will deliver you because you are no longer under his wrath. Trust the Lord and he will deliver you. He will deliver you because you are surrounded by his mercy. Trust the Lord, he will deliver you. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust the Lord. And that's not just a statement, that's a declaration of my heart. I will trust the Lord. When I lay down at night in this dangerous world, I will trust him. When I wake up in the morning, the world is still dangerous, but I will trust him. When I wake up and the sun is shining, I will trust him. When I wake up and it's raining, I will trust him. When my path is clear, I will trust him. When I cannot see the path before me, I will still trust him. When I'm well, I'm going to trust him. When I'm sick, I'm going to trust him. When peace overflows, I'll trust him. When trouble surrounds me, I will trust him. Whatever my circumstance, for as long as I live, my soul testifies that I will trust the Lord. I will trust him. What about you? Don't you want to trust the Lord? Don't you want to just turn your whole life over, not part of your life, but all of your life over to the Lord? Every step that you take, let the Lord be your guide. He's there waiting to do it. All you need, he wants you to do is just to trust him. Just to trust him. At this time, as the congregation stands, I ask the choir to come and to sing for us. In just a moment, we're going to have an altar call for prayer. And as you make up in your mind your prayer and open your heart to God, you need to remember that God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for your deliverance. So God is going to deliver you if you ask him. He's already paid the ultimate price. He's just waiting to put that application to your life.
Coming for to carry me home. I look over joy, what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me. Coming for to carry me.
For those of us who have already received the deliverance of God, and we just want to learn how to continue to walk by faith and not by sight, we just need to come with an open heart and give it all to the Lord. Ask him to lead us and guide us as we come with a trusting heart. If that's your case, when the call is given, you come and open your heart to the Lord in prayer. Or if you simply want to thank the Lord for delivering you all the days of your life, when the call is given, you come also. Open your heart to the Lord.